Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, March the 23rd, Pope Francis appeals for a stop to the bombing in Gaza as the death toll in the Strip surpasses 50,000. He also asks for prayers for the suffering people in war-torn countries across the world and for the commitment to undertake the path of dialogue. But first, the Pope gives his first in-person greeting and blessing from a balcony of the Gemelli Hospital, where he has been treated for pneumonia since mid-February before being discharged and sent back to Casa Santa Marta to recover and fully heal. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Pope Francis made a public appearance on Sunday at midday, the first time since his hospitalization just over 5 weeks ago. Before leaving the hospital for the Vatican, the Pope briefly greeted and blessed some 3,000 well-wishers gathered in front of the hospital from a balcony, thanking everyone for their prayers. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
Pope Francis greeted the crowds gathered in the square in front of the entrance of Gemelli Hospital, thanking everyone. He said just a few words from the small balcony just above the crowds and with effort raised his hands to bless them, followed by waving and smiling to those below who were shouting, "Francesco, Francesco, we love you and we're here for you."
Grazie a tutti.
With a faint voice, the Pope said thank you to everyone. A greeting had been planned, but the Pope wanted instead just to be seen and not heard. His gaze moved from one side of the square to the other, and he noticed a lady from the southern Italian region of Calabria in the front row who was holding a bouquet of yellow flowers, and he said he could see her holding the yellow flowers, and he waved to her. Following his brief greeting and blessing, the crowds then moved towards the Gemelli Hospital entrance to catch a glimpse of the Pope as he left in his usual white Fiat 500L. More greetings and cheers accompanied his departure. The Pope then headed to the Basilica of St. Mary Major, where he met with Cardinal Makrikas, coadjutor archpriest of the Basilica, giving him flowers that he asked to be placed before the icon of Our Lady Salus Populi Romani as a sign of his gratitude for her care and protection. The Pope's release from hospital was announced the previous evening, and Dr. Sergio Alfieri, head of the Gemelli Hospital medical team that had been treating the Pope for acute respiratory tract infections, reiterated that the bilateral pneumonia has been successfully treated, but time is needed for complete recovery. And so the Pope has been prescribed at least 2 months of convalescence, during which he will be receiving medical care and will be taking an adequate period of rest. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
And amongst those gathered at the hospital to show their closeness to the Pope and their joy for his return home were people from all over the world. One pilgrimage group made the 3-hour bus ride from Assisi to Rome early this morning to see the Pope and receive his apostolic blessing, some for the very first time. Natalie from Texas, Tim from Massachusetts, and Sierra from Mississippi were part of that pilgrimage.
We came to Rome today. We've been on a pilgrimage for the past 7 days. We just came in from Assisi because we had learned that the Pope was going to be able to do the Angelus today from his hospital and also be able to be released today. So we wanted to come back to Rome in order to be able to see him. You know, it was so overwhelming, and what a blessing it was to see him. And we've been praying for him for the past month or so, and praying that he'd get stronger and be able to be released. And what a blessing it was to be able to see there. And I was just overwhelmed with joy and gratitude and all the overwhelming emotions that come with that.
And it's so exciting to be here with all these people. It was, I'm glad he's feeling better, but it was exciting. I did feel blessed because I think in his sickness, he brought people together to pray, to be in fellowship, so it was quite an experience to be here with that.
Coming to Rome, you know, the heart and the seat of the Catholic Church at St. Peter's, just always such a special privilege to be in the presence of the Pope. We were actually here a couple days ago praying for him at the hospital and just hoping for a speedy recovery. So on our way back to Rome from Assisi, we found out that we were going to actually be able to see him here live at the hospital, and even better news that he's returning home today to the Vatican. So blessings all around, and then just to see him and actually be in his presence is a tremendous blessing. Coming all the way from the States and being in Rome, that's the goal. You know, you want to be able to see your beloved Pope, and thanks be to God we were able to do that. So, such an honor and such a privilege.
As he never neglects to do, even as we have seen in the most difficult and delicate circumstances, just as the past 1.5 months of hospitalization, Pope Francis renewed his call for peace on Sunday, urging an end to violence in Gaza and in other conflict zones. And he expressed his gratitude for global efforts towards dialogue, especially in the South Caucasus. In a text distributed to journalists by the Holy See Press Office, the Pope referred to the gospel reading of the day and highlighted the immense suffering of the people in Gaza, as well as all those who across the world suffer the consequences of war. "I am saddened," he said, "by the resumption of heavy Israeli bombing on the Gaza Strip, causing many deaths and injuries. I call for an immediate halt to the weapons and for the courage to resume dialogue so that all hostages may be released and a final ceasefire reached." He also decried what he described as the very serious humanitarian emergency in the Strip, warning that urgent commitment is required from the conflicting parties and from the international community. At the same time, the Pope expressed his gratitude for steps taken toward peace in the South Caucasus region, where Armenia and Azerbaijan are moving towards a finalized peace agreement. "May this be a sign of hope," he said, praying that other conflicts too may find a path to resolution through dialogue and goodwill. Before concluding, the Holy Father once again placed his trust in the intercession of the Virgin Mary, asking her to accompany the Church and the world on the path of peace. And he invited the faithful to join him in praying for peace, especially, he said, in tormented Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, Lebanon, Myanmar, Sudan, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. And Pope Francis's appeal to halt the bombing in the Gaza Strip came as Israeli forces advanced deeper into Gaza on Sunday, encircling the Tel al-Sultan neighbourhood in Rafah. Nathan Morley reports.
Israeli troops raided a Hamas command centre, killing what they described as several militants as part of an operation to dismantle infrastructure and expand the security zone. Videos showed residents fleeing the area, whilst IDF footage depicted soldiers advancing with armoured vehicles, firing into damaged buildings. Over the weekend, Israeli airstrikes also targeted Hamas sites in Beit Hanun in northern Gaza, according to a military spokesman. Health officials in Gaza reported 41 people had been killed and 61 seriously injured in the past 24 hours, raising the conflict's death toll to 50,021. The renewed offensive ends a 2-month ceasefire, as the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, has reiterated his goal to destroy Hamas and secure the release of hostages. In a related escalation, an Israeli drone strike targeted a vehicle in the southern Lebanese village of Atir al-Shab on Sunday, killing one person. The attack followed Israeli airstrikes on southern and eastern Lebanon a day earlier, further heightening tensions in the region. Despite a US-French brokered ceasefire, which has been in effect since late November, tensions along the Israel-Lebanon border remain very high. The agreement, which ended more than a year of clashes between Israel and Hezbollah, has been strained as Israeli operations persist, citing ongoing Hezbollah threats. Meanwhile, Israel's Security Cabinet has approved the establishment of a controversial new directorate to coordinate the voluntary relocation of Palestinians from Gaza to third countries. That's according to the Israeli Defense Ministry, who issued a statement on Sunday. The directorate will operate under the Defense Ministry and will oversee the departure of Gaza residents who express interest in relocating. The ministry did not name any third countries or confirm whether any have agreed to accept potential refugees. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And Pope Francis's appeal for peace efforts across the world and his request for prayers for the tormented Ukraine came as a Russian drone struck in the Ukrainian capital Kyiv, killing three people, including a child. Meanwhile, in Saudi Arabia, officials from the United States and Ukraine were set to hold talks on Sunday evening, ahead of their separate meeting with the U.S. delegation on Monday. It's a bid to find an agreement that aims to bring an end to the war 3 years from the large-scale Russian invasion of Ukraine. Danielle Vella, head of Jesuit Refugee Services' International Reconciliation Program, has just returned from a visit to the war-torn country. She spoke to Vatican News about the work the church does in Ukraine in so many different fields.
The churches play a very key role. First of all, in accompanying people spiritually, psychologically and materially, everywhere, especially those who are suffering, working especially through their priests and humanitarian agencies like Caritas, like the Jesuit Refugee Service, and so many initiatives and activities. So the first thing is that the churches are giving a really strong sense of community. You know, so people feel they have this safe space to pray together, to help one another, to be there for one another, and to try really hard to start healing these wounds of war. Even the way the representatives, we met many representatives from the Roman and Greek Catholic churches, the way they talk to us shows how much they care, you know, especially when they talk about the pain that surrounds the fallen soldiers, the inconsolable relatives left behind. The Jesuits, for example, recently established a center called Space of Hope, and they work with the mothers, the wives of children and children of soldiers who are fighting or killed or missing in action. They meet regularly with psychologists in a safe space. We heard from Caritas how they fundraise to send things to the soldiers in the front. We heard from the priests how they offer daily pastoral support. The church has really also taken the lead in responding to the needs of those affected by the war in other ways. I mentioned the figure of 3.7 million IDPs, internally displaced persons. It seems that many of these, 3 years into the war, are managing to somehow get on with their lives. But there remain thousands of people rendered vulnerable by circumstance, elderly, people with chronic illnesses, people with severe mental health challenges, people with disabilities, orphans, war widows. People like this will continue needing a lot of support.
And that was Danielle Vella, head of Jesuit Refugee Services' International Reconciliation Programme. And just briefly, the main rival to Turkey's President Recep Erdogan has been formally arrested and charged with corruption. Ekrem İmamoğlu, the mayor of the Turkish city of Istanbul, is expected to be selected as the opposition Republican Party's presidential candidate in a ballot on Sunday. His detention has sparked some of the largest protests in more than a decade. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us tomorrow at the same time for more. Meanwhile, you can visit us on our portal at vaticannews.va and catch our updates on Facebook, X and Instagram. My thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.